You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
An art heist that saw two prominent Lindor paintings stolen over the weekend has sparked a conversation about art crime in New Zealand. BFM reporter Joe Guy spoke to the author of Art Thieves, Fakers and Fraudsters, Penelope Jackson, earlier this morning to learn more.
What do you make of the two famous Lindau paintings that were stolen from the International Art Centre in Parnell over the weekend?
It's a terrible situation. Tragic, really, that these two works that people are labelling as national treasures or, you know, New Zealand icons have gone missing. And the very real fear, of course, is that we don't know where they are and we don't know what kind of condition they're in. And, you know, as a lot of people have said, and there's been a lot of speculation over the last few days, the way that they were taken and the speed that they were taken at, you know, I'm sure they will have sustained some kind of damage. And, of course, they're 113 years old, so they're very vulnerable. They're precious works. And those of us who work in the, you know, fine arts sector take great care when moving work, you know, white gloves, sponges, they're wrapped correctly, etc. And unfortunately, you know, those precautions, I'm sure, of course, we know from the CCTV footage, were not, you know, taken. So look, it's really sad. There is a lot of speculation around, you know, what has happened to them, why it's happened, the motivation. But until the culprits are caught or charged, we don't know. And but, you know, let's just hope that they will return safely.
And this isn't the first time that Lindau's work has been targeted, right? Because in 2012 and I think 2014, two other portraits were both in public collections were also found to be fraudulent. So are there any other New Zealand artists that have been more consistent targets than others?
Look, you know, Goldie, certainly there's a catalogue of art crimes around Charles Goldie, from works being vandalised, stolen, and then, of course, New Zealand's, I suppose, best-known forger, Carl Sim, who actually changed his name so he could sign it, you know, as Goldie. He was the first New Zealander in 1985 to be convicted and charged with fraud, and that was art fraud. So, yeah, so poor old Goldie, he's kind of, as I say in my book, a bit of a textbook case because his works have been stolen, forged, vandalised, you name it. But Lindauer, as you say, he's taken a bit of a hammering as well because there have been forgeries that have popped up, and the most recent one being the Alexander Turnbull Library in 2015 or 14, maybe the year before. They purchased a work that they were actually advised that perhaps it wasn't an authentic Lindauer, but they went ahead and purchased it and, of course, subsequently found out that it wasn't and had to come clean about it. Well, I didn't say it had to come clean, but they did. They were very open about the find. So, yeah, poor, you know, Lindauer's taken a bit of a hammering lately as well.
And as you mentioned in your book, Art Thieves, Fakers and Fraudsters, it's kind of the first comprehensive work about art crime in New Zealand. It's kind of emphasised that the link between art history and crime is often attributed as being a foreign thing. So do we have a long history of art crime in New Zealand?
Yeah, we do. Look, I mean, you know, the book obviously covers a lot of cases in New Zealand, but sadly there's enough for, you know, another book. There are a lot more cases. And, you know, that's kind of always the question, oh, does it really happen down here in New Zealand? Well, it does. And I think, you know, the amount of interest that's been created over the last few days over the Lindauers just shows, I guess, there's that kind of community outpouring of anger and grief, and people just thinking, you know, how could this happen? You know, confusion about it. But look, it does happen. Everywhere you've got an art history, you've got, you know, backstories, you've got a history of crime, unfortunately. And, you know, I was just thinking that in the last month, there have been four art crime stories in New Zealand that have made it into the media. So there could well have been other ones that didn't make it. So these are ones we know about. So in early March, there was an article in the New Zealand Herald about a large collection of works by Carl Sim, I just mentioned him, the forger, that had been put up on Trade Me, and fortunately no one was interested in buying them, so that was good. The second one was on the 19th of March. There was a story about the Otago Art Society and how they'd been caught up with the Francis Hodgkins exhibition, and there was a question about how authentic those works were authentic or not. So that was another story. And then later on in March, there was a story that actually came to us from the UK, from England, but it was about two New Zealand artists, McCann and Gordon Walters, and it was about how their works had sold very, very cheaply at an auction, you know, deal of the century, but were they real, you know, McCanns and Walters or not? And then, of course, this last weekend, we've had the Lindauers. So that's just four in the last, 4 weeks. So that gives you an idea that, yes, we do have art crime in New Zealand, and some of them are significant crimes.
It's kind of crazy that we don't really hear about these things. Do you think that's because most people kind of perceive the culture of art crime as being a very European thing, or is it just that we like to dissociate from the subject entirely?
I think it's probably both, really, that, you know, often we've thought it's, you know, as a European story, and often, you know, big cases, you know, Van Gogh found, etc., in Naples a few months ago and things like that. So you do get those big stories, international stories, and certainly with, you know, they're still finding works that the Nazis, you know, took and have been repatriated now. So they always sort of make the headlines as well. I think the other thing about art crime is that sometimes the crimes go unreported, just for fear of copycat crime, of course, and also that sometimes it's embarrassing. You know, when the Alexander Temple Library came out and said, actually, we've bought this work and it's not what it was meant to be, we thought it was kind of thing. You know, people said, oh my goodness, you know, that was public money, and there was kind of this outcry, you know. Look, they did front up to it. There are, you know, I would say that there are fortunate works in a lot of collections, you know, around the world, and people don't know about them, you know, or they're, let's put it this way, they're not advertised. So you get that. Also, you know, domestic collectors, often they're not going to admit to purchasing perhaps a lemon. So for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, it is the kind of the dark side or the seedier side of art history. It's not the easiest subject matter to research and to write about.
Yeah. Did you come across any kind of notable heists when researching for your book?
I do talk about some of the, you know, the bigger heists in my book, and some of the smaller unknown stories and things. And for the most part, people were very generous in sharing their information. But, you know, there are some things that you just never kind of get to the bottom of. Like, you know, when the James Tissot painting Still on Top was stolen from Auckland Art Gallery in the late 90s, the insurers put up a reward for $50,000. And I tried really hard to find out whether that was ever actually paid out or not, because there were different stories in the paper, but you know, you can't always believe what you read in the paper. And I just kept on, you know, meeting brick walls. So, you know, that's what I'm saying about art crime. It can be quite complex to research.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing is, it is crime, and not all crimes are solved. So not everything has a happy ending, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, in the do you think the nature in which these art crimes are conducted have kind of changed over the years?
Look, I think, you know, it does change. And I think, you know, you mentioned the Lindauer, the fraudulent works, and I mentioned Goldie. And it's, you know, look, both those artists are long dead. So, of course, there's a lack of those works in circulation. So it's a bit, you know, economics, you know, demand and supply kind of thing. So someone sees a niche there. I think in terms of technology, on the one hand, it's probably easier to... you know, if you think of digital photography now and getting images of works if you wanted to make a forgery. And, you know, look, there was an interesting exercise that I carried out at Waikato Museum late last year. We put on an exhibition about art crimes in New Zealand, and part of it was to educate people. And so we selected two works from the collection there, took just JPEGs of them, sent them off to Defen in China, where there's, you know, like 8,000 artists' work. They copy art. And we had, within 3 weeks, we had copies made of these works and sent back to New Zealand and put them on exhibition next to the originals. And people, visitors to the museum, had to guess which was the real one and which wasn't, which was a really, you know, interesting kind of engagement. What it demonstrated was that the speed at which these could be carried out, but also how good the copies were, and all they had were those JPEGs. They never actually saw the works in the flesh. So these artists on the other side of the world, they open up their email, they see this, you know, image that I've sent, and they've made a copy.
Mm.
So in terms of technology, you know, of course, things are changing. Having said that, the flip side of that is, at the weekend, those Lindau's, images of them, were out on the internet all around the world within minutes.
Mm, CCTV and cameras kind of tracked everything, didn't they?
Absolutely, and just the images of those works, because they had really good digital images of them from the auction house. You know, there was a story in The Guardian, Interpol knew, it was all around the world. So anyone way down the track, say if these works don't surface, and way down the track someone is offered them for sale, they only have to do a quick Google search and bingo, they're going to pop up. So that's, you know, really good. And I tell the other story in my book too about a sculpture that was stolen. And a decade later, someone was looking at a house for sale on the internet, and they recognised the sculpture in one of the, you know how you can go onto real estate websites and you go through all the rooms and look at them, and this person saw the sculpture and thought, I recognise that. That used to be outside the Epsom Library.
Mm.
And sure enough, it was. You know, quick little call to the police, and they went round and collected it. So that's kind of the flip side. So there's the positive and the negative in terms of your question about technology and change with art crimes over time.
Yeah. And lastly, where does art crime sit in New Zealand in comparison to the rest of the world?
Look, that's a really hard thing to kind of measure or gauge. And often, because of the media, it's sometimes art crimes are sensationalised, so they might appear bigger, proportionally bigger than they are. But there's often a statistic that's kind of bandied about, well, not a statistic, but a quote internationally, that art crime is third next to arms and drugs.
Oh, wow.
And so it's kind of up there, you know, but we're talking, I guess, if you think internationally, some of the things that, you know, go missing or, you know, or found, like the Van Goghs recently. But I think the bottom line is that it is a very real problem, and sometimes it's kind of, you know, some people have the attitude that art is a luxury item, it's elitist. So, of course, you know, why should police resources be put into that as opposed to something else, you know?
Mm.
So it's a really, really, it's difficult, but certainly it is a problem. We do have a history and a catalogue of art crimes in New Zealand, and clearly, given the events of last weekend, it is ongoing.
Trust BFM? Sure can.
That was author of Art, Thieves, Fakers and Fraudsters, Penelope Jackson, speaking about recent New Zealand art crimes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.